What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 433, and we're going to be doing a whole recap of CES. Of course, with me is my co-host, Ryan. What's going on?
Whole recap. Everything at CES we're talking about. Well, yeah. Maybe not everything.
But I did want to tell you guys that this week's podcast is brought to you by our CES sponsor as well.
Ooh, Ian. Very nice.
They gave me this nice shirt, which actually fits me pretty good here. Typically, when you get like swag at CES, it doesn't like it's either too big or it's super small. This actually
Or it's cut weird. So. All of my shirts and stuff that I got, I haven't opened the Ian one, but everything else fit great.
Yeah, we did get some pretty cool stuff from CyberPower, from Splave, which is a really interesting company, and some other stuff. So, but if you guys do want to check out Yiyin, they do pretty much everything from components to full-on systems. So if you want to buy a pre-built PC, they got you. If you want to buy a case, they got you. They had some really cool stuff at CES as well, which we will get into. But if you go to their website, us.yiyingaming.com, you can find everything there. You can search around. They have a ton of stuff, and they showed us a ton of stuff at CES as well. Yep. But and they're located in San Diego, which is really cool. So because I'm in San Diego, so thanks to them again for sponsoring our CES trip. Obviously makes things a lot easier for us, and they definitely had our back during the show. So on this episode, we are going to be going over everything that we saw at CES, all the cool stuff, some really interesting things. We'll also do a full overview, because it was shown at CES, of the RTX 50 series. So that's all four cards that were announced, 5090, 5080, 5070 Ti, and 5070. We'll talk about AMD, what happened at CES, and why people were kind of upset with AMD, a new AMD CPU was launched, and it was not, it's from this Ryzen 7000 series. It was launched this week as well, and some really cool stuff on Asus's BTF graphics cards that came out this week as well. So lots to talk about. If you guys do want to follow along, we do have our full show notes page. This is everything that we're going to be talking about this week with links to everything. So if you do hear something or you want to reference something later, you're listening, you're like, oh, I want to see what that's all about, we have all the links to everything right here, so you can reference it later or as we're going through it live here on the podcast. First, I have to say, I mean, like, Brian, do you miss me? You spent a week with me. You know, we lived together for a week.
Yeah, we did. It was a little shorter than usual. My flight out got canceled on one day because of weather, so I got there a day late, so you had to cover the first day. Thankfully, only a few events, but it's always good to like meet up. We see each other on here every week, you know, so there's that. But yeah, seeing you in person is always good, and busting each other's balls on everything is always fun. So
yeah, we had a whole setup in the we rented Airbnb this year off the strip, which was actually kind of nice. I drove my EV from San Diego to Vegas, which was interesting. Not all that hard. Not as hard as I thought it would be. It is definitely expensive to fast charge. It's not cheap. I don't think there's a whole lot of savings if you're comparing it to a gas vehicle, even in the state of California. But beyond that, it wasn't that hard with the EV. And I was your Uber driver.
My chauffeur.
Around.
Yeah. No, it was good. It rode nice. It was nice and comfortable. Like, yeah, it was great. Plenty of space. So
yeah. So it was.
The week went by so fast. Like, it was here and gone.
It was so fast, and we got to see so many people, so many friends. We got to meet new people. Like, it was the CES is probably like the highlight of our tech year, because there's just so much going on. And this year was real. Like, some years aren't really great for PC hardware, but when it came to PC hardware, this year was really good, of course, with the RTX 50 series being like sort of the showstopper of the show. We got to see all the graphics cards from all the companies again, which we're going to go ahead and get into. So let's just start it out with the RTX 50 series. We did not actually go to the NVIDIA press conference because you just sit there, and we had other things to do. But all of the cards were announced. prices, expected performance, all that kind of stuff. Let me bring up the page here. So $2,000. So we had this kind of, we guessed what it would be. I think I said I wished for $1,749.
Yeah.
You said, what did you say?
I think my initial was like, I hope it's under like what, 2,300 or something like that.
So,
we were both off, but
yeah, we were both off. I don't think 2,000 is horrible. I really would have liked to have seen like 1,749.
Oh, absolutely.
32 gigabytes of GDDR7, 21,760 CUDA cores. NVIDIA is saying it's twice the performance of the RTX 4090, which is pretty awesome. It's going to support DLSS4. And I believe, at least from the start, DLSS4 will be only on the RTX 50 series, at least to start. They've done that before. January 30th, availability. So end of this month. So reviews will be coming out soon. Going down the line here, RTX 5080, that's going to be $1,000. 16 gigabytes of GDDR7, 10,752 CUDA cores, twice the performance of an RTX 4080. RTX 5070 Ti, that's going to be $749. That is 16 gigabytes of GDDR7, 8,960 CUDA cores, and again, twice that performance of the RTX 4070 Ti. RTX 5070, $549. So your lowest barrier of entry, at least currently, we don't have a 5060 and we don't have a 5050. But for this initial launch, the lowest barrier of entry is going to be $549. 12 gigabytes of GDDR7, 6,144 CUDA cores, and twice the performance of an RTX 4070. NVIDIA did say same performance as a 4090 for $549.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, this chart shows twice the 4070, where you're like, okay, well, what does that mean? Well, okay, if we compare it to a 4090, all right.
That's a lot of people who bought a 4090 in the past 3 months must be pissed. Because, one, the 4090s were still going over MSRP a lot of places, and you were paying a lot for them. And now, apparently, you can get the same performance for $549, which I would be a little upset about.
Yeah, for sure. We got some folks in the chat saying hello and with some questions. So,
what do you think? So we have the machine in the chat, and we have Dispatcher Gaming in the chat. He says, what do you think the 5090 will get for FPS and pure raster performance? And then
they clarified in 4K. I mean, it depends on like your what title.
Yeah, if you're not turning on so many things. And just like we saw with the 40 series, a lot of the performance gain was with turning on things like DLSS and taking advantage of those extra things. So it's unclear. It's definitely going to be, I would say, at least, I don't know, 30-40% faster than a 4090.
Yeah, and I think
non-DLSS performance.
Yeah,
I would say.
Yeah, if you turn on that DLSS4, you're gonna get improved. But they were just curious about the pure performance. It's not gonna be twice a 4090, right? But when you start enabling things like DLSS4, that's where you're gonna see those bigger jumps in performance.
And our next story, NVIDIA did release some numbers, because initially at CES, no real numbers or graphs were shown. Just all these numbers that we're kind of telling you. The cool thing, well, they did release this this graph right here, which shows relative performance compared to a 4090 and 5090. And again, this is with ray tracing, DLSS, all that kind of stuff. So this is not just like pure raster on these. But this gives you an idea of performance, and that's pretty awesome. I mean, but again, like we've said with both AMD and NVIDIA and Intel, this, don't take this, wait till real reviews come out, but this is what kind of what they showed. Also, if you look at the picture of this card, It is a dual slot card for the 5090. That is not very big.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that cuts the size down that we saw. They really improved the cooling and everything. I think they released today a lot of details on this cooling and how it's different from the previous version. But that tells you a lot about how hot this chip's going to get and what is needed to cool it. Of course, we'll tell you about the other cards that we saw from the AIBs. But the Founders Edition is a two-slot card. So that means it's going to fit in a lot more systems as well. So have all of that. Again, end of the month for availability on those. And then if we go to gaming benchmarks, so NVIDIA, I think today, released their gaming benchmarks, and we can take a look at these. And again, these are all with ray tracing, DLSS. But if we have ray tracing turned on, you can see, like, just with ray tracing turned on and just DLSS on some of these, you can see that it's not so much. But then when you turn on DLSS4, how much more performance. So these are not pure raster here. These two essentially would be. Right here. So you see, what is that? 20 to 30%?
Yeah.
On these ones right here. So again, something to think about. So that's on the 5090, 5080, very much the same. When you turn on DLSS4, you're getting much more performance. A lot closer here on, I guess you could call it pure raster because they're both being tested on the same. What is that, 15, 20%?
Yeah, maybe 10, 15, yeah. Probably, yeah.
So, and then 5070 Ti, again, a little bit better than the 5080 if you're comparing it to a 4070 Ti.
Right. But then especially in those DLSS titles, like Jump is a lot better on the Ti.
Yeah, and then 5070 and 4070, again, I would say these are about 20, 25% better at pure raster here on the end. And then this is 5090 with just showing you DLSS and the performance gain that you would get with having DLSS off and DLSS on. So there's those. And then same thing with the 5090, showing you some of that as well. So those are the numbers that they put out. I think do you think that gamers are upset? Do you think they're excited for this series? Like, what do you think?
From everybody I heard, like, I think a lot of the excitement was about that 5070 and 5070 Ti, right? Like that price to performance ratio was like exciting. Not to say that people aren't excited about the 5090 and the 5080, because they are. They're still great cards. Overall, I feel like it's a pretty positive launch. I don't feel bad. Nothing about it makes me feel bad, right? It wasn't that price hike to $2,300 or $2,500, right? It's not the $1,750 or so you wanted. But it's not so outrageous and unexpected, right? So I haven't really been able to find a negative with this launch yet.
I think the best thing that I see is if it is true that you're going to get 4090 type performance in the card that's 549. If you guys have to remember too, if you even in our graphics card testing and you see it everywhere, is like the rest of the series, 4080, 4070, 4070 Ti down, they're all kind of in line, right? They're all just, the graph kind of goes like this. But then the 4090 was like way above everybody else in performance. Right. So if you're going to get that in a 5070 or a 70 class card at 549, I think a lot of people are going to be really happy. Of course, those other cards that are coming out are still going to be more performance. But for what a lot of people are doing, I mean, so many people are still on 1080p. So many people are still on 1440p. I don't know that many people that are gaming in 4K because it doesn't make sense unless you have a 4090. But if you did, now it's more available in a lower cost per se.
Yep.
But again, you might, even in gaming at 4K, you run into VRAM size issue with it only having 12. So.
Yep. No, I agree.
On the other
of,
side,
a lot of chat going on, but I think they're kind of chatting and clearing things up. You know, just a lot of, hey, you know, is PCI 4 going to be a hit as opposed to running one of these cards in PCI 5? Nah, you're not going to really notice any difference there.
Yeah, I don't think.
A little bit of discussion about like GPU, VRAM, and things like that.
I don't think that's going to be a big issue if that's what you're doing. On the AMD side, so NVIDIA had their press conference, AMD had their press conference, AMD decided to not officially announce the Radeon RX 9070 XT and 9070. We've been talking about these for weeks. A lot of people speculate that they were waiting for pricing on the RTX 50 series. So they didn't have the pricing. They didn't know. So they didn't want to announce. And then NVIDIA have the kind of upper hand being like, yeah, like, why would they announce it at that price? AMD actually said, I watched an interview. They said that the reason they didn't announce is because they wanted this Radeon series to have its own event. It was being overshadowed by all their other announcements. Their, what is it? Their new X3D chip and the mobile parts is going to be powering a lot of the mobile gaming systems. They didn't have enough time during the press conference. I don't know. Well, I mean, what do you think? Do you think AMD did the right thing, or do you think that they should have announced?
I think they did the safe thing, right? There was so much like the odds of them being like beaten on that price or just like hit hard on that price were too stacked too against them to make it worth, I think, announcing anything without knowing those prices. It's not what we wanted, right? We would have loved to see them make an announcement as well at the show, but it just didn't turn out that way. Yeah, AMD had an investor conference, not a gaming conference. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was. They just weren't ready for it, I guess.
Yeah, they said the machine says they were safe. Yeah, they played it safe. Yep. Absolutely. And the thing is, it's all the AIBs had the AMD.
Yeah, so we saw some cards,
and we couldn't
find any info about them.
Yeah, we could just see them and pick them up and see what they were about, but we couldn't see VRAM sizes. We couldn't see obviously pricing or anything like that. And again, is AMD retooling, or is it just a price thing? Are they kind of retooling the final config of the cards?
Yeah, possibly.
You know,
right? Tweak some speeds or
tweak some stuff to get a little bit better performance at a better price. But we don't know. Nobody knows. But if the 50, if you know, they call this the 9070 XT. Is it 70 class performance? Probably, because they said it's going to be around the same performance as the 7900 GRE. So, you know, NVIDIA puts that 5070 at 549. Like, what's the price of this card that's going to be around that performance? Probably a little bit less than the 5070. So if that's 549 and you want to sell them, and again, Intel just came out with their cards at a very attractive price point.
Very nice price.
So, like, I've heard rumors of like $450, $479.
Dang. That'd be nice. I don't know. That seems a little low to me. But if you want to be aggressive, and
I mean, I would say $499 would be the lowest highest you could go, because
you think?
Well, $549 for, again, the 9700 or the 7900 GRE does not beat the RTX 4090 at all.
Right.
So you're going to be under the performance, apparently. Again, this is all from what NVIDIA says.
Right, of a 5070, yeah.
But you're going to be under the performance of the 5070. The 5070 is $549, so you could not go above $500, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I guess we'll see if AMD, I mean, they're going to have the cards are ready, apparently. So we're going to have to see if we get an official announcement or official event. but it would have been the perfect place to announce and get all the details, because that's what everybody was talking about at the show were graphics cards. But that's kind of what we have on both sides when it comes to NVIDIA and AMD. And now we'll go into all the cards that we saw. We're going to try to go through a lot of this quickly, because we're going to go over as many cards as we can from the different AIB partners. And we'll start out here with Asus. Their booth was insanely busy.
Oh my gosh.
And I do urge you guys, we have videos in all of these articles and on our YouTube page. So go watch the videos. They're going to give you a much better idea of us just talking about it here. And all the videos are in the articles, as you can see right here. So watch the videos. But first, for the past few generations, when it came to graphics cards, the top of the line graphics card from Asus was always a Strix, the Strix card. But on their motherboards and other products, the Strix was always the second card, the higher end, or like say like a motherboard, the highest end motherboard was the Maximus or the Crosshair. Then it went to Strix, right? Yep. So for the graphics card, they wanted to kind of keep that same thing where Strix is the second tier. There's a top tier. So they announced this new Astral card, which is
a beast.
It's huge. One, it's massive. It has an all metal. This is all metal. None of this is plastic all around it. Not just a triple fan cooling solution. If you flip it over again, if you watch our video, it has a fourth fan on the back. This is going to be their top tier when it comes to their graphics card. So you're going to have Astral at the top. After the Astral, you have the ROG Strix. So this is what the Strix is going to look like. This is their 5080, I believe.
I think that was the 5070 Ti.
Or it might be 5070 Ti, but this is what the Strix is going to look like. A little more, I think it's a little more toned down from the previous Strix cards, I would say. But that is what the Strix is going to look like. And they have their Tough Gaming card, which is always one of my favorites. More industrial look on the Tough Gaming, as always. All of these have full cover metal back plates. Again, I urge you to watch the video. We go over all of that. But that is the Tough Gaming. And then we have a new entry. When it comes to their motherboards, your entry level for the most part is their Prime series, right?
Yep.
Their Prime series. You're going to get a Prime Asus graphics card now. So entry level, sort of not as flashy as everything else. Still get a lot of the same features, just at a better price. So you will get Prime cards for the RTX 50 series. And then we also didn't talk about... what's the other one? Why can't I think of it? The Pro Arts. You also get Pro Arts in the RTX 50 series as well. Some other things that we did see their Pro Art motherboards. They have a Z890 Creator Wi-Fi, which was actually quite nice. This has dual Thunderbolt 5 ports on it. Not Thunderbolt 4, Thunderbolt 5. So if you are a creator, you're transferring files or doing things very quickly, even connecting really nice Thunderbolt displays, you can do it with this board because it has dual Thunderbolt 5 on it, which I like. They also have a AMD BTF motherboard. So this is their Tough Gaming B850 BTF. So if you're looking to build an AMD system and you want it to be BTF, they have this as well, which actually was quite nice. They had this insane router. This thing is massive.
So big.
The non-ROG one here, and it's big. This one's is around the same size. But this has AI built in, a lot of really cool stuff. Watch our video. I talk more about it. But this is an awesome router. Very expensive, but if you're a gamer and you want the fastest of everything, this is going to give it to you, and it looks amazing as well. In the chat, the machine said, no more dual. Do we see it?
I don't even know there? When they did that. Not from Asus. We did from MSI.
Yeah, but Asus has always had a dual line of cards.
Right.
I don't know if that's being replaced by the Prime series or not. I don't recall seeing a dual card at their booth. So not sure on that. And then Asus is getting into the curved screen AIO, and a lot of people are. We've seen it. We saw a bunch at CES. This is their curved screen, and this is the ROG Ryu 4 SLC 360 ARGB. Looks quite nice. AMOLED curved screen on this, 360 AIO. And they put the connections, just like that Li and Li like cooler.
Yep.
The connections are sort of on the in the middle of the radiator for less cable mess as well. So yeah, that one's going to be expensive for sure. But that's what we saw from Asus, kind of an overview of everything, all the RTX cards and everything like that. Like I said, I urge you guys to watch the video. A lot more detail on that. Talking about Asus, they also announced this week, or they gave more details on their new BTF graphics cards. So the biggest thing with BTF is that if you buy a BTF graphics card, you can only use it in a BTF system. You can only use it on a BTF motherboard. And that's fine if you're doing a BTF build, but like a lot of times when your system gets old, the graphics card and the CPU are probably like the only things you can really sell. It's really hard to sell the full system a lot of times. A lot of times you have to part it out. Yeah. So what Asus is doing on BTF 2.0 is previously you would have this connector. This connector would go down like this and connect into the BTF connection on the motherboard. Now what they're doing is they're making this connection shorter, and they're going to give you this thing right here that's a little adapter that connects into the BTF connector, this connector right here on the board. So you can use a BTF graphics card on any motherboard, not just a BTF motherboard. It is going to have the 12V2X6 on the card as well. So you can power it this way, you can power it this way. So that brings the longevity of your graphics card for different systems or whatever it may be. It does beg the question, is if Asus is doing this, will they ever open up that onboard connector to other manufacturers?
I mean, maybe, you know, if they're first to the race and like everybody else picks up that standard, what worries me is that like you end up with a standard or a way that every company's doing it. So it's just a mixed bag and you're stuck with, you know, staying with, you know, an Asus video card with an Asus motherboard because the Gigabyte one doesn't, you know, support it type of thing.
Yeah,
especially since that's probably not a standard that's like universal.
Yeah, Asus kind of owns this design, right, and you can see what it would look like with the adapter that kind of sits in there. This new BTF 2.0 connector in the power connector supports up to 1,000 watts through it.
Okay.
Compared to 600 watts on the 12V2X6, but pretty interesting that they've kind of made it so you can choose if you want to use the BTF card on a non-BTF system. It also makes you wonder, what's the price difference going to be on a BTF card versus the like a 5090? What's the price difference on the BTF card versus the regular card?
Maybe it's the same card. Maybe there's not a difference because you'll have the option.
Or I didn't see it on like the cards that we saw, because I don't think every card will have the BTF connector.
Oh yeah,
because I didn't see it on any of the cards. I wasn't looking for it, but I didn't see it. But yeah, so that's the new BTF 2.0. I assume you'll see this stuff pretty soon with the 50 series coming out. Moving on from there, we'll move on to MSI, and I have to say, Asus did have a pretty complete booth, but I have to say that MSI probably had the most complete booth with everything there. They did a really good job at spacing everything out and also having all the information that you wanted on all of the, on like everything. And if they didn't, they had somebody to tell you. So it was really easy to go through MSI. So shout out to MSI for that. Of course, we'll start with their graphics cards as well. They will have a liquid-cooled card. The RTX 5090 Supreme Liquid OC comes with a 360-millimeter radiator. This is, you know, what it's going to look like. So if that's your thing, you want to do the AIO card, they have you covered there. Moving down, you have a normal Supreme card. Very much the same design. Not a whole lot has changed, which if you're a fan, I do think the Supreme cards are one of the best-looking cards from MSI. So not a whole lot has changed as far as the design, but I do think that it looks good. We have a new series from MSI. So, you know, we saw new series from Asus. Now MSI is getting that new series, and this is their Vanguard series. So Supreme is like real kind of sleek. There's some RGB, but like not a ton. It's very, very sleek. The Vanguard is kind of in that same, sits around the same, yeah, but it's going to have a lot more RGB. You really can't see it because the card obviously isn't turned on here, but it's just more flashy, more kind of, you can see like the carbon fiber and all that kind of stuff. So a lot more RGB. There's an RGB element here and one on this side of the card that's going to light up as well. So that's the Vanguard series. We also have essentially the ProArt version of an MSI card. This is their Inspire 3X series. So Inspire 3X essentially is the creator's card. I do like it with the different MSI logo on the side. It looked really sleek and clean. So if you are a creator and you wanted sort of like a more just sleek and sophisticated card, they have that there in the Inspire 3X series. We also in the video show some dual slot graphics cards. So they are not dual slot, dual fan graphics cards that MSI will be showing off. So check out the video. Again, it is there. MSI also, we got to see their new handheld. So we saw their Claw 8 AI and Claw 7 AI. Powered by Intel Core Ultra processors. Got to play around with these for a little bit. Definitely a lot of fun. These things, like, it is crazy how powerful these little machines are.
Yeah, you were playing with that Sonic game, I think, right? And it looked great. Like, it was so smooth. Like, graphics turned way up. It looked pretty amazing. Both of them were nice, right? That the screen size, I think, was an 8.8 on, or is it just an 8 on that?
The Claw 8 AI, I believe, had an 8.8 inch screen, and then the Claw 7, I'm not sure.
Yeah, 8 inch and 7 inch, yeah.
Yeah, and then they had a Claw 7 AI, which is just a smaller screen, essentially the same internals, different color, but just a smaller screen on that one as well. So got to see some gaming handhelds, was definitely a lot of fun. Dispatcher Gaming said, Bob and Ryan, are you getting a 5090 and what brand? I would say we're probably going to get some to review, but if I was buying one, I would probably,
I will say I'm not getting a 5090. That's for sure.
But if you were to pick one out of the ones that we saw,
I mean, I think the Astral is
the Astral
the best looking 5090. If they have a Strix though that looks like the Strix they showed, if they had a 5090 of that, it's still a good looking card.
Yeah, the Astral is going to be the most expensive. So if I was buying it, if I'm buying it, I probably think I just like Strix. Like it's, I don't know, but I mean, I would want the Astral card. That's the card that I would want.
Yeah,
it's just, if I was buying it, it'd be the most expensive out of, and you don't know what do you think? 250 on top of
probably.
Yeah. So you're,
I mean,
you're
some of the Zotac cards looked pretty good. We didn't visit Zotac, but I saw a couple shots of some of their cards. They usually have pretty good performing cards as well. So, you know, those might be an option as well if I were in the market for a 5090, but I'm not. So not a 5090 anyways.
Another thing that MSI had, and I was just blown away by this, they've done a really good job. I mean, like, it flies under the radar because we know MSI mainly for motherboards and graphics cards, but they do make cases. I'm actually reviewing another one. We reviewed their Mastro. I don't know the I forget the name of the other one I reviewed, but it was like a, and it's all made of aluminum. It's like super nice. They have this massive Meg Mastro 900 PZ. It's just like a monstrosity of it. It's huge. It's one of the, probably one of the biggest cases we saw at CES. Supports 18 fans. Like you can see multiple graphics cards in here, largest motherboards, 420 millimeter radiators all over the place that it can support. And this is like aluminum, like real aluminum. It's, you know, it's, and I believe, I know this wasn't one piece of glass, but it's huge.
Yeah. I don't even want to know how much that whole system weighed.
Yeah, huge. So if you're doing like a crazy water cooled system, this is definitely something that you would want to consider. And again, it just flies under the radar because again, MSI graphics cards motherboard. But all, like I said, check out our video because
we had two big cases. But
yeah, this is the one that we covered. Also, Project Zero. So MSI Project Zero. Obviously, that's their BTF or, you know, motherboard with the connections on the back. They showed sort of like what's coming, I guess. This is their Project Zero X. There are literally no connections on the back or on the front. And there's no rear I.O. because it's been they made this system where the rear I.O. is like part of the case and the motherboard itself, the only cable you see is right here. Everything else is just gone. Everything is routed from the back of the board. And it's just like you have a big heat sink and space for your memory, essentially. What did you think of this one?
No, it was cool. I liked the idea of it, of that essentially breakout, you know, set of connectors not being in the traditional spot. I don't know that I liked them on the back side of the case because in all practical use, like if you've got these, like your keyboard's plugged in and your mouse is plugged in and network and stuff, like you're going to have these cables coming out the side of your case, but yeah. It opens up the option for placing them in a different spot altogether. It was still very cool.
And if it is like a breakout cable per se, you could, with this type of design, you could have like a, I don't know, because I don't know how you're going to design like this.
I don't know what your lengths have to be, are restricted to as well. Like how long can that breakout be? Because you start moving those ports away from those chips, you know, and like running an umbilical to a breakout box. Like what does that do to it? I don't know the restrictions. Yeah.
It was really interesting. But I said, like, check out the video because we go into it a lot more than what we're just showing you here. But awesome stuff. Nice to see,
like, angles of things, right? The picture doesn't do some of these things justice, right? So,
yeah, the machine said airflow, heat. It was just shown in, like, this sort of, like I said, watch the video on our YouTube, but it was just shown in, like, this sort of case type box. It was just to show it. So, airflow and heat.
Very much a prototype.
Yeah, very much a prototype. So nothing really kind of, what would you call a sample that's made for performance? It was just to show it. So
just for looks right now, yeah.
Yeah. After MSI, we saw Gigabyte. Gigabyte also had all of their new cards that we did get to see. Out of all three, I would say Gigabyte I was less impressed with when it came to their cards. So they're going to have a water. And again, watch the video because I go over all of them in the video. They will have an AIO card, 360 mil, just like everybody else. That's their Auris Extreme Water Force. And then they have their Auris Master, which is right here. This is kind of what it looks like. Triple fan, as you can see. I feel like a lot of these newer cards are like a lot more boxy. They just seem boxy compared to maybe some previous.
Yeah, I mean, generation. I do like that, like, rainbow foil look that was on there. And I think that was on... No, I'm thinking of another company. I wasn't a big fan of their designs. They weren't terrible, but they weren't necessarily my favorite.
Yeah, like I said...
They had a lot of options, too. Like, you know, we're talking about here, the Arrow OC, the Eagle cards.
Yeah. Yeah, so they have a MasterCard, they have a Gaming OC card, they're going to have an Arrow OC, an Eagle OC, which are both white, I believe.
Right.
They had a bunch. They also did show their 9070 XT and 9070. Can't really tell you much about them besides what they look like. They're in the video, so check that out. They did show their new ICE, some of their newer ICE, which is all white motherboards. These looked awesome. So if you are doing an all white, you know, build, they have you covered on both ATX and Mini ITX. So it's very, very hard to find Mini ITX that's all white, including the PCB. So yep, the entire PCB of the Mini ITX is all white. So if you're doing a white build, they have you covered with that tiny little board there, which is awesome. We also got to see some new monitors. I don't think monitors, like last year, it was like last all monitors like from everybody. Yep. They did have a 500 Hertz gaming panel. That's their FO27Q5P. QD OLED 1440p at 500 Hertz. You definitely need a 5090 to push that at, you know, 1440p. They also had their MO27Q2. That is a 240 Hertz QD OLED. And they have a new stand, which you can't really see it in these photos. It's in the video, but a smaller stand, so it takes up less space on a lot of their new monitors. And then they have their MO32U, which is a 31.5-inch QD OLED 4K 165 Hertz refresh rate. That's launching in January for $799. So some new monitors there as well. Not as many, like I said, monitor options, but that's all the graphics cards that they have there as well. So yeah, good to see new stuff from Gigabyte as well. Move on from graphics cards and over to Lenovo. What was really nice about Lenovo is they had a whole section for gaming. Previous years, they kind of had their gaming like, oh, here's a little bit here, here's a little bit here. But they had a whole thing for gaming. And what we really wanted to show was their new gaming handhelds. So we did get to see the Lenovo Go S, which is essentially a more value option for a gaming handheld. So it is less expensive, which is nice. So if you're, you know, looking around, what was the price?
$729.
So not as expensive as the original, the Legion Go S. And this is a unibody design too. So the sides don't come off like the original either. So it's one whole thing. So you're not going to get that on that, but it was definitely cool to see that. They're also going to have a Steam version, which runs Steam OS, and it's the first handheld that's not a Steam Deck that is going to run the Steam OS. And that's actually going to be $499. Same design, same unibody design. This one had sort of like
a
purplish blue.
It looks good. I liked it.
Yeah, it looked really, really nice. So for $499, not running Windows, you could, if you're just purely gaming, I think this would be the way to go, because it really doesn't matter what the OS is, because you're not really doing anything just besides gaming, essentially.
But it's $599.
Or $599.
Oh, wait. No, hang on. You're right. Sorry. $499.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought it was $499. But yep, that's a really good entry point for this, I think. And again, if you're not doing, if you don't need to use your gaming handheld for other things, that's what's like, having the gaming handhelds run Windows is great, because you can also dock it and do other stuff. But if you're purely just gaming, having the Steam OS is a good option. And I'm sure people will hack these to
figure it out.
Run Windows. Yeah. Anyways, so good to see that. We also got to see a prototype of the upcoming Legion Go 2. What were the big changes here? So the OLED screen on this, it had the fingerprint reader too on the top, so you can easily log in using Windows Hello. They really worked D-pad on the ergonomic design of it. The D-pad, which is right here, it on the original is just a 4-point. Now it's an 8-point D-pad. Yep. So yeah, lots of different stuff there with that. So really cool to see all the different things from Lenovo. They also had a rollable OLED laptop, which is part of their, what was it part of?
What do you mean?
Was it part of their ThinkBook series?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think it's a ThinkBook.
Yeah,
that was really cool.
Yeah, rollable OLED was really, really cool to see a screen that was like...
expands on its own with the press of a button.
Yeah, expands. I can see a use for it. It's kind of... I don't think it's going to... I think if you buy it, it's really cool. It's going to be expensive. I think that's the biggest thing. So, that's everything that we saw from Lenovo. Now, moving on to Yiyi, and they had a handful of different things. And again, we urge you to watch the video that is in the article right here. But first, they had their Gemini Pro case. So this is your typical aquarium-style case. Glass on the front, glass on the side. We have a side mount here, and it supports 360-millimeter radiators. The cool thing about this is that, one, you can get it as part of an pre-built from Yiyin. But on top of that, you can buy the case itself. And the case itself will ship with 7 fans, which I believe are, I don't know the configuration. I think it was like 3 in the side mounts and 3 in the top or the bottom and then 1 on the back. Yep. So you'll have 7 fans that are RGB out of the box, $140 for that case, which I think is a really good deal for 7 fans.
Yeah.
They're going to come with that. It also has a digital display on the front, which will show your CPU temperature, GPU temperature, and fan speed right here on the front too. So really cool stuff, especially that price. That price is really, really good. They also showed us that they have white versions of the Mirage series. Again, this is a larger case, and then this one's so smaller. This supports extended ATX. This just supports ATX. And you can buy the case, or you can get it in a system as well. That's what's really nice about Yiyin, I think, is that if you know, some companies like who do pre-builts, like they have this case.
And they don't sell it solo. Yep.
They don't sell it solo with Yiyin. If you just want the case from them, you can buy the case from them. And again, if you want it in a pre-built, you can get it in a pre-built, which is nice. They also had this really comfortable gaming chair that they're going to offer pretty affordably too. Mesh gaming chair. I think it was what, $299 they said?
It was very affordable. Yeah, it was $299. 40 armrests.
Like it was. I sat in it. It was very, very comfortable.
Yeah.
And then they had a gaming desk. So we've seen this from companies before. This is a sit stand desk. It's electronic. It is all aluminum. So everything is aluminum, which is great. It's dual motor because you're going to put a system in here. The system goes right in the center, and that will support full size ATX motherboards, like full size graphics cards, 4090, 5090. 360-millimeter radiators in there you can fit. So if you want to do an AIO, you can definitely do it. RGB lighting on the side and all of that. They say they want to release this for under $1,000, which some of the competition has been like $1,300, $1,400, $1,500 mark for this. So pretty cool to see that as well. And they showed us a 40-inch curved IPS monitor. 120 hertz refresh rate, going to be $500. So if you wanted something that was a little bit bigger, but not necessarily like a super ultra wide, 40 inch is nice, and it's an IPS. So they had that monitor, but they had a ton of stuff. So definitely check them out. Like I said, they were our sponsor this year, and it's always good to see all the new stuff that they do have. So from there, we move to Cooler Master. And the biggest thing that everybody was so excited about with Cooler Master is their upcoming cooler. So everybody, if you remember, their iconic V8 CPU cooler, this was sort of fashioned like a V8 motor. They are going to bring that back. So they have their new V-series of air coolers here. And these were just prototypes of what they might look like, but we put this out on social media, and everybody was like, I have my original. I would definitely buy this. What do you think of these? You didn't get to see these because your flight was...
I didn't. Yeah, it was. Yeah, that was one of the booths or suites I didn't get to see. I'm not a huge fan of the, like, unless you put this in a build that's like a car or engine themed build, I'm not a fan of it. I would like it with just like a plain top, right? Because the performance of these was pretty good, if I remember correctly. So just if you could like take that top off or swap it out with something plainer, I'd be down for it. I understand like the V series, right? And you want it to be like a V6 or a V8 or whatever, you know. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not. Yeah, a V fan, I think it's cool.
They're definitely popular.
Yeah, I think with the how viral the post went that we posted these, I think that people, these are definitely going to sell. Most air coolers kind of all look the same. We've gone into RGB and top plates, and maybe this is just something that people want. You know what I mean?
Maybe. I do like the fan design, like the connectivity, like the corner pieces. They're unique. Yeah. They're not, they don't all look the same. They've got kind of a built-in frame to them. Yeah, there's things I like about it. But.
Yeah, obviously it comes down to performance on these. No word on when they're going to be available, but this is what they showed us. Pretty cool. They also have new AIO. So this is their 360 Atmos 2, and they're going very much the Corsair routes. When it comes to the block here, you can have optional top pieces that will come out. They're just magnetized. And then you can get this is like a full on LCD. This is a pixel display. They have one with a fan on it, different ones that you could get with that. Also, Ryan, you didn't see this, but the fan design has been changed. This is a single piece, single 360 with four screws. So really easy to install.
My only worry with that is that frame has to be very strong, because if there's only four screws at the edges, there's potential for vibration at the middle of that fan shroud and the radiator, with any flex. That would be my only concern. I'm sure they've got rubber pads on it and they've thought about it, but that's my only
RGB, and there's RGB in between the fans too.
Yeah, it looks good.
Just the fans. So pretty cool looking cooler that we did see from them. Got to see their NR200P V3. Their NR200P was one of their best selling small form factor cases. This essentially allows for the biggest graphics card. This is a 4090 Strix, I believe, that's in there.
The card's huge, made for this case.
Yeah, so they basically cut out this section so you can get that airflow for your graphics card. Small form factor, I believe it fits a 280 millimeter AIO in there as well. So really nice to see that. We also did get to see their Master Frame series. This is their new series of cases available in different sizes, 400, 600, and 800. Aluminum frame on these, which is really, really nice. They did look really good and sleek. I don't think they're going to be for everybody, but I think for a lot of people who still want that sort of I think this is a nice bridge between the old school look and the sort of new kind of aquarium style case. These do not have glass on the front. They are made for airflow, but they do have a nice glass side panel. And again, all of this exterior is aluminum, which is nice.
Yeah, I haven't been that excited about these, but I wanted to see them in person to be able to tell, because, I've only seen them in pictures and video, right? I wanted to see them in person to really get a true feel for it. Unfortunately, like you said, I wasn't able to visit Cooler Master this year, so didn't get to see them in person.
They also, it's kind of hard to see, but they did have these two cases as well. These are air-cooled versions of this case. Again, watch the video. We talk about all these, but definitely some nice stuff here to see from Cooler Master. And let's see, what else do we have? Is that Cooler Master? We have Thermal Take and Corsair to do as well. So Thermal Take was next. They also did show a mini ITX case. Lots of colors, as you can see, it's right here. So this is their TR100. And available in all of these different colors. Again, same thing, small form factor. You have the ability to get it with the screen as an add-on. You don't need to. It would just be a normal plate like you see here. They're going to launch the black, and this matcha green first, and then the blue, I believe. These two right here, the strawberry and the pink, will launch later. Supports longer graphics cards on the side here, and they have a removable graphics card bracket, so you can install your graphics card outside the case. You're not kind of fiddling around, it just sort of slots back in, which was nice. Airflow in the front, which is really nice to see. You don't see that sometimes on some of these small form factor systems. Also, three USBs on the front, which I definitely like. two type A, one type C on the front of this smaller case as well. Supports 280 millimeter radiator in the top two. So that was definitely nice to see there as well. So definitely awesome to see that. They've also showed some new cases. So this one was just a prototype, but essentially right. they've taken what they did on their tower series with the angled panels and they put it on this case here. Again, just a prototype, but just adds a little different. It just makes it look a little different than a normal case, which this would all be flat essentially.
Right. Yeah. No, look at.
Yeah. And in this case, all of the fan mounts support 140s, which is also nice. Great for airflow. Good thing we're getting common sense airflow these days. Which is really, really cool. Also, we didn't even cover it in our video because I didn't know at the time. And then I read later. See this right here? This looks like a suitcase. This suitcase is for the TR-100s. Right. So you can get a suitcase that essentially fits this in here.
Perfect for LAN party.
Yeah, for LAN party or traveling or whatever it may be. They also have a View 90, which is an update to the View 37. Really cool screen placement here as well.
I like the dual fans at the back.
Yeah, dual fans you can fit on the back of this one as well. So great to see that there. They also showed us their workstation cases, which if you think thermal take, you really don't think workstation. But they have their AX500 snow and AX700 snow. These will, of course, be good for airflow. But on top of that, they do have GPU support brackets. So if you're running like AI stuff or anything like that, multiple graphics cards in there, you will have the GPU supports. The AX700 is massive. It has these brackets for a ton of hard drives. GPU support brackets. And then on the bottom here, this bottom part is optional, but it will go on to it. And down there, there's a ton of storage as well. Can support dual power supplies like
19 crazy. Fans or something like that.
Yeah, like you can do, and if you're running like AI modeling and stuff, and you can do it all like in this big ass case. It's huge. It's really, really huge. That's what she said. But yeah. They also have new AIOs too, so everybody's doing screens. So they had their MagFlow 360 Ultra AIO. Nice little screen design. The whole thing easily pops off too. And it used Pogo style connections. So there's really just pull it off if you need to install the AI or make any adjustments. Black and white versions on that. It's a 3.95 inch LCD, and it's essentially borderless. There's like a big border on this side, but it's really clean. It's a really, really clean looking AIO. So I really like that. And then they have the curved. So they're doing curved as well. This is their MagCurve 360 Ultra, 6.67 AMOLED curve screen on there as well. No details on when this one will be available or pricing, but Thermaltake is going to do it as well. So if you're looking for a curved AIO, you're going to have a lot of options this year. They also have some new fans. The one that I really wanted to talk about is the TS120 and TS140 that are these ones right here. One, they have some really cool RGB lighting, not only around the frame, but on the sides, which look kind of nice. But each one of these fans on the back, they have a temperature sensor, and you could set fan curves based on the temperature of each individual fan. So if you're somebody who's like really trying to get the optimal performance ratios for your system and your hot points in your case, all that kind of stuff, you'll have temperature probes in each fan, and you can set the curve for that fan based on the temperature, which is excellent.
Right, yeah.
Typically, you're really confined to CPU temperature, GPU temperature, typically, or motherboard temperature. Now you can set a curve for each individual fan because each individual fan has a temperature sensor. These are going to be sold in three packs in both black and white. So pretty cool to see that. And of course, you'll be able to do all of that within the RGB Plus software from Thermaltake.
They've got the magnetic connectors.
Magnetic connector makes it really easy to install. They all daisy chain together when you magnetically connect them. And then you have a single connector that comes off there, which will have your 3-pin ARGB and then your 3-pin PWM connector on there as well. So really cool stuff from Thermaltake. They had a lot of really cool stuff to show us. So I really liked what they had. And then finally, we have Corsair. Now, Corsair booth was like There was a million. When we saw there, there was a million people. So the only thing we really did get to see, which I'm glad we did get to see it, was their Frame 4000D, which is a follow-up to the original 4000D. They made it a little bit bigger. They made it a little bit more modular. They changed the design slightly. Again, I watched the video, but this is essentially what's going to look like. Black and white versions to start on this. And they've changed this front panel design to have this sort of 3D sort of cutout design. I think it looked good. I don't know what your thoughts are.
No, I liked it. That front panel was cool. The motherboard tray is removable, and they had multiple options for that tray, right? Everything from like a aluminum CNC on the left there with some removable plates for drives, the standard one on the right. They had an acrylic clear one, right? I think it had some lighting built into it, maybe.
Yeah. So, right? So one, it's been a long time since I've seen a removable motherboard tray.
Yeah.
They make it's so easy. Back in the day, we used to have removable motherboard trays on like all the cases. Yeah.
Some of them, they'd like slide out of the back and
so much easier.
Yes.
But you remove a handful of screws, the motherboard tray comes out, meaning that before you do your installation, you can do it outside the case quite easily. And if you need to like swap something, like swap a CPU cooler or something, you can essentially take the tray out and do it pretty easily, which is nice. So you have all that modularity. I believe it supports 360 millimeter AIOs in the front and the top. Obviously, you can see one installed there. Lots of different modularity. Now, what's really nice about this is that Corsair is kind of notorious for keeping you in their ecosystem. But they're going to offer three models of this case. Base model, no fans, so you're not in their ecosystem, $94.99. A model with three non-RGB fans will be $99.99, and the model with three RGB fans will be $119. So not a big difference in price if you get it with fans either. Yeah. And then they had this really cool Xenon Edge display. So this is a really cool display that, one, they're going to have a mount where you can mount it in the 4000D. But on top of that, it has a stand so you can use this on your desk. And they have a set with widgets and things like that. But it can just, like, this is running like a version of IQ that you could show this stuff. But you don't need to run IQ. You can just have a HDMI to it, and it's just another screen. So if you want to run your own software on here, you can easily go ahead and do that. This is gonna be $249. I really like it. The stand was sleek. It looks sleek. I have my 49-inch monitor sitting here. You guys can't see it,
but it'd be cool to have this underneath it.
Yeah, like having this sitting underneath with my widgets and what's going on, my system stats, like, would be perfect.
What was what was the one that they had that was like a bar? You reviewed it. You actually sent it to me afterwards. It's like that was like the real precursor to this thing. Which this is like the way it should be because
it's big, it shows you everything, and you can read it, and there's a lot more functionality with this.
Absolutely.
But they did show us that they will make a plate that's going to go right here that you can mount it right here. So they will make that option as well. They had a lot of cool stuff, like I said, and they had a lot of cool like customized Frame 4000Ds where they'll be offering like different front panels and side panels and all different kinds of things.
Did you see, we maybe have it in our video. Maybe it's just like some B-roll. One of the cases there, that 4000D that's in the article up above, was on like a lit platform. So the one right next to that actually had kind of a prototyped liquid cooled power supply. I don't know if you happened to see that.
I didn't see the loop. I didn't see it when we were
there, right? I didn't notice it. And then I saw a picture of it this week. Yeah. And I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
It was
That's cool. The biggest thing with CES is like we usually schedule each booth or suite that we go to for an hour. And sometimes we don't have enough time to cover everything.
Yeah. You're busy, or like it's so packed in there, you have to choose like this and that. And that's all you have time for, because everything else is full. Yeah.
But that is pretty much what we saw at CES as far as our coverage goes. We'll talk about some other stuff here in just a little bit. But check out all the videos. They're all on our YouTube. I think Ryan and I did a pretty good job of covering the show for a two-man crew, one-man crew the first day. Because I was there by myself trying to shoot things, but I think we did a good job, and totally, like, it's so much fun seeing all the new hardware. It's just like, but real quickly, AMD did release or announce a Ryzen 5 7400F.
All right,
it's gonna be their most affordable Ryzen 5 processor. So 7400F. 6-core, 12-thread, base clock of 3.7 gigahertz. It will boost up to 4.7 gigahertz, 65-watt part. Yeah.
It's great. What, expect around $150, right?
$150 for 6-core, 12-thread.
Yeah, great.
And it's Ryzen 7000 series, so you're on, what,
AM5.
AM5, yep. So that's going to last you a very long time. This could be like your initial part, and then maybe you upgrade down the line. Like,
yep.
And again, if CPU intensive tasks are not your thing, you know, you're still going to get, like, on some boards, you're going to get good, better, you know, Gen 5 storage. You're going to even Gen 4 storage, or, you know what I mean? Like, all of the getting on that AM5 platform at $150.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Is a pretty good deal.
Yeah. You're thinking about like a low price build, like for your kid or just your first PC build, like it's got a lot going for it, to be honest.
I mean, like I said, it's 65-watt part, but
yeah, doesn't take, yeah. I don't know. I like,
but if like you said, like for your kids, like I'm sure they can, if they, you get them like a discrete graphics card, nothing crazy, 1080p, Fortnite, throw an
Intel, you know, Battle Mage card in there. With yeah. Like thing, and
Fortnite, Roblox, all those kind of like low path, you know, things that you could play on it, I think would be great for this. So yeah, great to see from AMD. Just like, I feel like AMD is just kind of doing the right thing. At least when it comes to their CPUs, they're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
So definitely awesome to see that there as well. That is all of the news for this week. What we have coming up next week, take a look at a sort of capture card, and it's from Asus, which you wouldn't know Asus for making capture card. This is, they call it their capture box. This is their Tough Gaming Capture Box 4K Pro. As the name says, you can capture 4K up to 60 FPS on this, 2K up to 120, and full HD up to 120. You can also do HDMI pass-through, HDR pass-through video, 4K 144Hz, 2K 144, and full HD up to 240. So if you were going to use this with the PlayStation 5 to capture your content, you can easily do that. And it's really easy to use because, one, it has its own software, and two, it's just a Type-C into whatever you're using to record. Mm-hmm. So if that's a laptop or your PC, if you're, like I said, if you're a console gamer, you probably record with a laptop to make things easier. So really simple little box. I'll be talking to you guys about that next week. Also, one of the biggest things is you need to charge your devices. And there's a ton of chargers out there. But I'm taking a look at the Aukey MagFusion Qi 2 3-in-1 wireless charging station. So this is it. Charges your iPhone, Apple Watch, and AirPods. Or you can essentially put any wireless device on the second one, as long as it fits there. 15 watts wireless charging on this. This one's super nice. Like, it's really high quality. So
we saw this at their booth, right?
Yeah, we did see this. They had some other stuff at their booth at CES as well, but always something good for the desktop. It's going to sit next to your PC, and it's going to just plop your phone there, make it real easy. So I'll have that for you guys next week as well. As we get to the end of the podcast, we always talk about tech. And CES. One, you know, what was your favorite product you saw at CES? Like the thing that you were kind of blown away with?
I don't know if there's anything I'd say blown away with. The thing I'm most excited about is just the potential performance of that 5070 and 5070 Ti at the price point. That's what has me most excited. I know I said this multiple times during the week when we were there. It felt like a show where there was a lot of the booths felt like they just didn't have a lot of variety or as much as we typically see throughout the years. I don't know why that was, right? Maybe it was we changed up our content creation style a little bit. So maybe that had something to do with it. I don't know. That was what I was most excited about, is just like the potential to get that performance at that price point. Yeah, I would say is kind of what I was most excited about.
Yeah, there was a couple things that I saw. We didn't actually cover it because there wasn't that much. And yep. Surprisingly, I'm on the MSN website, which I didn't even know still existed.
And I see scrolling some stuff. I'm like, what is
this? Yeah, showing well, here? I just had to find it.
Okay.
Just to show you.
Oh, guys. What? Yeah, what case was. Yeah, this. Sorry. This, yeah. I'll let you share it.
Yeah, so I get to see this. This is courtesy of MSN, which again I didn't know existed anymore. But this is a test bench from InWin, and for something that was very practical for me, this was really cool to see, because you can essentially turn this on its side. So it's kind of vertical right now, but you can just go like this and put it on its side. And the reason I like this one is because it does have spots for AIOs. Because I use an AIO just like they have here on a test bench. But what's really cool is these can be moved to each side. So like this bracket can be moved over here if you want. If you need to like take pictures of your, your graphics card better, like you can move these brackets and you can angle these brackets, which is really, really nice. It's all made of aluminum. Like it's super high quality for a test bench. Like I would love this. Like for me, for like a practical thing that I saw at CES.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was neat.
Beyond that, like you said, the RTX 5070 seems like a great entry point for a lot of people. The RTX 40 series, like for people who were like getting into 4K gaming, it's like you had to have a 4090 and that was quite expensive. So that type of performance, if it is true for 549, that brings the cost of your overall build down quite a lot. So I definitely am a fan of that. Let me see if I went over to the car section.
Yeah, you did.
And I saw this Honda car.
Yeah, at the Sony booth, right?
No, not that one.
Oh,
different. So this is what. Can I open this and make it bigger? No. So they had these two cars, and one sort of looked like a mash of a...
Show us.
Yeah, so these are the two cars that I got to see from Honda. This one kind of looks like essentially the new version of the car that I have, the Prologue. But this thing,
the one on the left,
crazy. It's called Honda O Saloon and the Honda O SE. So this is the Honda O Saloon. So this car is actually really, really big, but the front of it looks sort of like a Lamborghini.
It's very much like a Lamborghini up front.
Yeah, and the backs of these look really cool. Like this has sort of like an infinity mirror on the back, and it has the Honda logo. It's actually really cool. That was something really cool that I saw. It's always fun to go over there to see kind of like what's over there as far as cars and things like that. I don't know if there's anything else that you saw that was really crazy. We did get to see, I did see the, what is that? Both LG and Samsung.
Oh, someone else had a transparent screens again.
Yeah. So LG had the transparent screen. So did Samsung. That was really cool.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's anything out on the show floor. Not really that I saw.
That's pretty much all I saw there.
It's always worth going, right? It's a good show. You do see new product, you see all the people. It just felt like, I don't know, product was missing or a variety of things. So we'll see.
Like I said, CS is always a great time, and luckily we were talking about this before the podcast, neither of us got sick.
I was sick ahead of it, right? Like,
yeah, you were sick ahead
of New Year's Day and like a couple days afterwards, like leading up to that weekend of heading out, started to feel better. And then like flight gets canceled one day. So I had another day to kind of like recover. But yeah, I'm hoping neither one of us ends up feeling bad this week. You know, we've been back. I've been back for like 5 days now, and I feel fine.
Yeah, I've been. I'm surprised that I didn't get sick. No, nothing crazy. So, yeah. But that's pretty much it for this episode, guys. Obviously, we appreciate everybody who listens and everybody in the live chat we had. I know Corey was in here. I saw him. We have Dispatcher Gaming. Pseudoscientist, wasn't there somebody else in here? Yeah, we had him in here. The machine, we had, like I said, a good amount of people in here talking tech, which you know, awesome. We love when we talk tech. It's always just so much fun, and we'll have a lot of new stuff coming up on the site. There's still some CES content coming out on short form, so if you're following us on like Instagram and TikTok, is TikTok being banned? Like, what's going on?
I don't know.
Yeah, so. Don't know. But if TikTok gets banned, follow us on Instagram.
Where else, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll have a lot more short-form stuff coming out from CES. But all of our long-form content we wanted to put out during the week, so that's all out there. And just stay tuned for some more stuff. We have a lot of fun stuff coming with new products coming in. And I think we're going to go ahead and game for a little bit. I know Ryan's a little tired, but he did say that he'll play for a little bit.
Yeah, maybe just a little bit.
Yeah, so we're going to be over on Twitch. So if you want to continue to hang out, talk tech while we're gaming, Ryan runs that stream, and he will have that up. That's twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. And we will see everybody next week.